NewsmaxPlus.com. Make the switch to Newsmax today.
9:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Baltimore City Council member Odette Ramos says racist threats made against the Urban Reads bookstore have been reported to the Attorney General's Hate Crimes Unit. She says bookstore owner Tia Hamilton has been the target of horrible social media messages and stalking behavior, and that will not be tolerated. A Baltimore man is heading to prison for the murder of a Lancaster, Pennsylvania teen who drove to the city to buy a car he saw on Facebook Marketplace. 19-year-old Marcus Harris has been sentenced to life plus 10 years for killing Carlos Carazana Ricardo in 2023. 18-year-old Carazana Ricardo and a friend drove to Harlem Avenue in Baltimore to look at the car, but Ricardo decided against the deal, and as he drove away, he was shot in the head. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
Hi, it's Bruce Elliott. Tim Kyle Electric is now Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Now, for years, they've been a trusted name in the electrical industry, serving residential and commercial clients with excellence and dedication. And now they're proud to bring their wealth of experience and exceptional service to homes that are looking for HVAC services. Now, during the winter weather, it's important to ensure your home is equipped with reliable heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling are here to cater to your needs, ensuring comfort and peace of mind for you and your family. The weather has changed, and now is the time to call Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling. Call them today, 410-876-9404. Remember, they also do outdoor lighting, plus service and sell all generators. For all your electrical and HVAC solutions, call 410-876-9404 or online timkylecompany.com. Tim Kyle Electric Heating and Cooling, winner of Carroll's Best Electrician and HVAC Repair Company.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
NFL free agency hit home yesterday in Baltimore with five Ravens heading to greener pastures, and I mean in pursuit of getting paid. The headliners were Patrick McCary to the Jags, 3 years, $37 million, and Brandon Stevens to the Jets. Ravens GM Eric DaCosta at his postseason press conference saying Stevens is no surprise.
Probably going to have a chance to test the market and see what his value is. But he's helped us win a lot of games over the last couple of years.
And apparently his value is 3 years, $36 million. Sam Passaio's three-run monster shot yesterday was the headliner, but that's for the future. Orioles fans perhaps more zoned in on the performance of Felix Bautista, which is the present. Shaky at best last night, O's manager Brandon Hyde on his closer.
I thought he got better, a little bit better as the inning went along. Still kind of feeling his way through for me. It's his third outing in a year plus.
One inning pitched, three hits, two earned runs allowed, but the velocity was there at 98 miles per hour. It'll be the O's and Yanks this afternoon at 105 in Tampa. New York's ace Garrett Cole now out for the year after Tommy John surgery. Coming up in 30 minutes, Maryland basketball rises in the polls. And that is Stein on Sports.
Is your wear and carry permit about to expire? Don't wait until it's too late. At Free State Gun Range, we offer initial and renewal courses to keep you prepared and protected. Our certification is valid for 2 years, so you can be confident you're up to date and ready to go. Whether you're renewing or starting fresh, our expert instructors provide hands-on, top-notch training. Lock in your training now before prices go up. Secure your spot today. Your safety depends on it. Call Free State Gun Range now.
At 9:06, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Temperatures warming up ahead of the front today and then somewhat cooler tomorrow and Thursday. No rain in sight, just sunshine. 71 today, 60 tomorrow, 62 Thursday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's 41 degrees in Westminster, 42 in Easton, and 40 in Kearney. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Man, oh man, oh man. We got a lot to talk about today. I'm looking at the show plan and it is jam-packed. A lot of news, some going on locally, some on Capitol Hill. Of course, we've got a lot going on in Annapolis. And if you're in the state of Maryland and you are a resident like I am, then we're all watching our pocketbooks and wallets closely. Because unfortunately, the House of Delegates in the Maryland General Assembly, they have their eyes on our wallets and pocketbooks as well. We're going to get into a lot of different things. We also have Delegate Ryan Araki joining us at 9:35 a.m. before he hits the floor to talk about House Bill 24. And then at 11 o'clock, we've got Kate Sullivan. She will be on to talk about our election integrity win here in the state of Maryland. And, you know, both guests will tell us what we can do next to assist. See, you got these soldiers, right? You got Delegate Ryan Araki. You've got so many people in Annapolis. You got Kate Sullivan. You got all these people that truly do care about our election cycle, about our laws, about the budget, about the education system. And so they're in these positions where they can really take this stuff on head on. But at the same time, you know, we have to try to support them as much as we can as well, because they can't do it alone, right? And sometimes, like I said, if there's a call to action, you know, there's somebody that we can call, whether it's contacting our delegates or our state senators or someone on Capitol Hill or what have you. And so that's what we need to do. And even when it comes to Kate Sullivan, hopefully she'll let us know as well what we can do next to continue to get these wins in Maryland. Right? I mean, we talk about this all the time. The midterms are around the corner. 2028 will be here before you know it. And we want to be prepared, and we want to make sure that our election process is as safe as possible. Is it ever going to be as safe as having voter ID? No, not until we get voter ID, right? But in the meantime, you know, the fact that we do have people like Kate working on this is huge. Also, Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo sat down for an interview. I don't know if it's an interview, just kind of like a podcast session, I guess is what I would call it. But there was a stark admission there on Tucker's part. We'll get into that as well. And Robert Kennedy, RFK Jr., he actually stopped by, what is it called? Steak and Shake? Is that how you say it? Yeah, Steak and Shake. And so he stopped by with Sean Hannity, and they sat down to have a meal and then talk about some of the changes we could be making in our personal lives to get a little healthier. I mean, look, I was on here yesterday talking about how bad my migraine was, and I pushed through it, luckily with the help of Brian, the producer, but I pushed through. And I made it through. To all of you that called and texted and told me about the beet chews and everything else, thank you so much. I feel a lot better already today. And so we're going to, you know, we're going to take this head on. And so RFK Jr., the things that he talks about probably will help me in my life as well. So I'm happy about it. All right, let's dive right into what's going on currently with the Blueprint / Kerwin Commission. I will always put Kerwin Commission on this, by the way. Because number one, I don't like the rebranding of it, okay? Blueprint, get out of here. Number two, they try to take the Kerwin part off of this because they didn't want to put the name Kerwin on it because it's such a disaster, right? It's like they passed it without any funding mechanisms, and then it's like, oh, well let's just... you don't have to put Kerwin on there. Blueprint. So no, you're stuck with it. It's the Kerwin Commission. According to Kim Klasick, okay? You're stuck with it. This has been a nightmare from the very beginning. The fact that this was even a conversation to begin with is insane to me. Not only, and look, when the Kerwin Commission came along, we had a couple of dollars, right, in the bank. And that was, you know, thanks to former Governor Larry Hogan and others. We had a couple of dollars in the bank. But even then, we still didn't have enough money to fund the Kerwin Commission. We never did. We never had it. And then on top of it, when you're really diving into the details and you see that it's going to enlarge class sizes, right, give teachers more of a break. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't know if I know teachers don't need a break. I'm not going to say that. I'm not a teacher, clearly, okay? They might need more breaks during the day. I don't know. I know we have a teaching shortage. They might need that time, sure. But guess what? We can't afford it. We have a shortage. So Governor Wes Moore, he did ask that the House of Delegates make some changes, some amendments. He did say, you know what, we got to spread this out. We cannot afford it right now. He said, look, we can't, and we'll be honest, we can't hire all of these teachers. I still don't know why he said that during his State of the State address. We never had the money to hire the teachers. We don't have the money to hire all those state employees that he's talking about, the 5,000. We don't have it. And so here, they're still talking about not making these changes, even some of the ones that Governor Moore proposed, which still don't go far enough. But this whole thing needs to be kicked off the table, but it won't be, right? Because everyone that you see fighting so hard for this is in bed with the teachers' union. And they can't get out of bed with the teachers' union. It was the teachers' union that made sure Governor Wes Moore was elected and won the Democrat primary. He owes them. He's done. He owes them so much, he can't even push as hard as he knows he needs to push when it comes to the budget. I have this audio here from Fox 45. Of course, they were talking about the blueprint. Take a listen.
I don't know where magically they expect all this money to show up.
With less than a month left in Maryland's legislative session, concerns over balancing the budget remain. A big debate is the blueprint for Maryland's future, an education spending plan designed to improve performance in Maryland schools. Amid a $3 billion budget shortfall, there are questions about its price tag. Good evening, everybody. Mary Bubala, thank you for staying with us. As Fox 45's Mackenzie Frost explains, House Democrats are rolling back the changes the governor wants.
There's a battle brewing for the funding of the blueprint. With less than 1 month to go in the General Assembly, we're trying to figure out if House Democrats will win in their push to restore funding. And if they do, where will they find the money?
Governor Wes Moore's budget plan includes changes to the state's blueprint for education future, like pausing the state's collaborative time, given the teacher shortage, and the governor calling for changes to funding for schools in areas of concentrated poverty.
Obviously, we're facing a budget crisis here.
Despite the bleak fiscal outlook, House Democrats restoring the poverty grant and shortening the collaborative time pause from 4 years to one. During a House floor debate, Republican lawmakers made the case to slow the implementation.
You know, it's always right and always appropriate to defend the taxpayer.
Mr. Speaker?
Despite multiple attempts to make amendments,
The amendment fails.
Democratic delegates winning out.
Hearing none, the bill is ordered printed for third reading.
When asked about the House's version,
for all of our partners, I can't stress enough the seriousness of this moment. This is not a fire drill.
Governor Moore not directly saying whether he would sign the plan that strays from his.
If we do not make these adjustments, then you're not addressing what I believe is the biggest issue that our education system is facing right now. When I'm looking at tens of thousands of shortages for educators inside of our classroom, if you don't fix that problem, I don't care what other problem you're trying to solve for, it's not gonna get fixed.
I think they're doing it in part because the House is much more liberal and progressive than the Senate.
Political analyst John Deedy says finding the funds for the blueprint is the biggest unanswered question in Annapolis right now.
And I don't know where magically they expect all this money to show up. I think in the end, the winner of this showdown in many ways is going to be more Governor Moore in the Senate for pulling some of this stuff back, because financially and fiscally, the money isn't there. And the House, they've been proposing tax legislation.
So far, Senate President Bill Ferguson has said he could support pausing collaborative time, but it's changing funding formulas to low-income schools where he's willing to draw the line.
Even on concentration of poverty, I understand the rationale of where they're coming from, and they believe that they're dealing with it in other ways, like the Enough Act. I just think it's a core fundamental piece of the program that we can't hold back on.
All right, that's Senator Bill Ferguson, and even though I'm not a fan of Senator Ferguson at all, at least he does seem to have a little bit of common sense that shows here and there. Here's the thing. I hope voters are paying attention. I really do. I know we're paying attention, but I hope the voters, I will say, on the other side of the aisle are paying attention, because even Wes Moore is saying we can't do this. This is the guy that's only there because of the teachers' union. He's saying we can't do this. Yet you've got the House of Delegates, and this is what's so crazy too, right? You have all these caucuses that came together in the House of Delegates, and they're all coming together, and they're saying we must do this, we must pass that. Meanwhile, we don't have the funding whatsoever. But they were able to come together to talk about this. What's so interesting about it is how long have we wanted them to come together to talk about the juvenile justice system. We've wanted this for quite some time. This is what is also bothering me. As we're focusing on the budget deficit, right? As we're focusing on the energy crisis and all these other things that we should be focusing on, the whole thing with the juvenile crime is getting thrown to the wayside. Vincent Schiraldi is almost getting a pass through all of this, which is, you know, really upsetting to me because, remember, I wanted a special session when all of the carjackings began with all the juveniles. And so here, we're throwing that to the side because we want to talk about, according to the House of Delegates, the Curwood Commission / blueprint. This is a disaster. It's a disaster. Everyone in that General Assembly, and I'm not saying everyone as far as even the Republicans. I will say those that stood there and as part of those six caucuses that came together, I say that they have led us in a terrible direction and they continue to do so. The fact that these amendments did not pass, and these were requests from a Democrat governor, shows you exactly what they're doing here, okay? They don't even care about what Governor Moore had to say about it. And to so many people that have called into the show previously that are on the other side of the aisle that would say, oh, well, Governor Hogan did this or Governor Hogan did that. Please understand, the supermajority that you see in Annapolis with these Democrats, they're the ones making these decisions. It is the House of Delegates. They are super progressive. And then it puts, even though the Senate's a little more conservative, it puts them in a pickle because they also have these progressive constituents in their districts, and so they got to kind of, you know, they have to kind of walk this tightrope, and they're like, okay, well, let's see what we can do here, let's see what we can do there, and so they're not going to push back fully because, of course, they want to keep their seats, right? It's politics. I do hope, and we've talked about this now for how many weeks? 2 weeks at least. I do hope that people understand the importance of getting involved in the Democrat primaries this cycle, okay? I really do. Because we can't deal with these progressives any longer. We can't. We're not going to be able to afford to deal with them. And so we'll continue to watch this. If you want to weigh in on this, you can. It's 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. Of course, we've got some text messages coming in. If you haven't already, download the WCBM app. It's free in the App Store. You can text me right through the app, and it comes here live in studio. I got one from our friend, Firefighter John. He says, good morning, Kim. Governor Wes Moore was at it again, bragging how a majority of Marylanders are going to receive a tax break of around $173. Of course, he failed to mention the tax assessment value increase dramatically, costing us more in property taxes, or the fact that the MVA fees have doubled and the 500 plus fees that have been added to services on goods now. Then he went into insult Donald Trump and called him names. He must think we are all stupid and that he could pull one over our heads. Again, Firefighter John, thank you, John, for your service. Here's the problem, John. A lot of those voters that voted for Governor Wes Moore and that hate President Trump, a lot of them are stupid. So that's the issue. That's the problem that we have. There's a large portion of the voters that are not so bright. And I told you guys about this when we knocked doors, you know, in 2020, then in 2024. You could present something to somebody. Show them, like literally show it to them in their hands. Show them how what they're saying makes absolutely no sense. Trump is not to blame for some of these things that they try to blame him on. And they will still look at you and say, well, you know, no, Trump's racist. And I know that, you know, they're not that bright. They're not that bright. I think, honestly, the whole thing that we see with the school system, and I know it sounds terrible, I think some of it's intentional. Not just because they're making money off of it, which is obvious, but because I don't think they really want a lot of these individuals to get any smarter. And think about it. If they had a great education system in Maryland, like where the kids were actually learning, right? Not talking about putting so much money into it, but they were actually learning and they ended up being very bright and went off to, you know, do some great things in life. And then they came back home and they were part of, you know, the Maryland voting bloc. They would say, okay, you know, some of this doesn't make sense. And then they would say, all right, you know, it is what it is. And we're going to vote for somebody else. But when you keep people this ignorant, right, this uneducated, and they can't leave, right? Think about all the people in Baltimore that says, oh, I wish we could get out of here. But they can't leave. They don't have the education. They don't have the skills. They don't have the talent. They can't leave. And so they continue to vote for these people because they believe that everything else is racist and what they tell them is true. And that's because a lot of them are poorly educated. I know it's sad, but I think a lot of this is intentional, just not for money purposes. All right, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about this. And I also want to introduce to you House Bill 24, if you haven't heard about it, because we'll be joined by Delegate Ryan Araki in just a little bit. Is your roof leaking? Did you have damage from a storm? Have leaks, lost shingles, gutters, or downspouts? Well, you may need to repair or replace your roof before the damage escalates, all right? Call Wallace Roofing at 410-655-3700. They will also work with your insurance company. Wallace Roofing has been in business for over 92 years. Is your full-service roofing company specializing in steep and flat roofs, all types of metal roofs, gutters, downspouts, and skylights? They do residential and commercial roofs, and they do not use subcontractors, so you know exactly who you're going to get. Getting a roof repaired or replaced is something that most homeowners dread, and when that happens, it's important to get not only the finest quality materials available, but a fair and reasonable price. Wallace Roofing is privately owned, and 0% financing is available. If your roof is showing signs of wear or problems, call Wallace Roofing at 410-655-3700. Again, that's 410-655-3700. Wallace Roofing, MHIC, 1566. Wallace Roofing, above all, a good roof.
Are you looking for weekly updates about the economy, the stock market, or hearing about wealth planning topics? If so, tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:20 a.m. for the Morning Market Flash featuring Tim Herb, Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor at RBC Wealth Management. For immediate questions, call us at 855-360-VIEW. That's 855-360-VIEW. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Registered investment advisor and member, NYSE FINRA SIPC.
The Sean Hannity Show.
Hunter lied on a gun application form. Wesley Snipes, convicted 3 counts of tax evasion in 2008 for bilking Uncle Sam on taxes up to $15 million. IRS said he owed taxes. He was later sentenced to 3 years in prison. Remember the guy, Jersey Shore star Mike? Yeah. Anyway, 8-month sentence for skirting $2.3 million in taxes. Not Hunter.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 3 to 6 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. You know, I was just reminded in the text line by Marty. Our friend Marty says, Kim, don't forget the Kerwin Commission was passed during COVID and debate was cut off. You know, great point there, Marty. I mean, really, we had no say in this. And this, talk about a dictatorship, right? And it's a projection for me. It's always a projection. Oh, Donald Trump, he's like a dictator. Look what Elon Musk is doing. Elon Musk is coming in and he's tearing up these departments and these agencies. And how dare he? Think about what's happening in Maryland. Do you have a say on any of these taxes or fees or any of this nonsense that's going on? I woke up this morning and I was watching Fox 45 getting dressed and I hear something. Oh, there's a delegate in the House of Delegates in the Maryland General Assembly that wants to do something about witchcraft. And I said, these people, you can't make this stuff up. Another one, real quick here, because we are going to get into the audio for House Bill 24, because I want you to know what Delegate Ryan Araki is talking about when he gets on. But I saw this from Delegate Nick Allen. He says, I think it speaks volumes that the first executive orders President Trump signed had nothing to do with lowering the cost of groceries or fighting high utility bills. Or utility prices, excuse me. Meanwhile, you know, did he put this to Joe Biden or anybody else? No, he didn't. Then he goes on and says, instead, he signed an executive order specifically targeting American service members who are trans. I'm always proud to stand with the LGBTQ plus community, especially my siblings in arms, and work with my colleagues in the LGBTQ plus caucus to make sure we leave no one behind in Maryland. This is what Delegate Nick Allen posted yesterday. Of course, you know, I left a comment. I said, oh, I didn't know you were gay. Congrats on coming out. I hear it isn't easy. This is like, you know, because again, your brothers in arms. Are you kidding me? How many people, there have been experts that have said, because of some of the hormone drugs and things that they're taking, trans people, they probably should not be in the military. And these aren't people that lead left or right. Come on, delegate. We're facing a budget deficit and an energy crisis. And you're talking about the executive order to take trans people out of the military? This is who we have leading us. This is it. All right, we're going to get to this House Bill 24 audio here. It's in Middle River. For once, Middle River made the news, and it's not about violence. Take a listen.
An historic Middle River neighborhood is facing a costly challenge, failing septic systems and a mandated sewer connection that could force longtime residents out.
But now state lawmakers are stepping in with a bill that could provide some much-needed financial relief. Fox 45's Rebecca Pryor has that story.
Following a stretch of dense suburbs, Benji's Road takes a turn.
All right, Sam.
Thank
you. Catch you later.
Tucked behind the trees in Middle River.
So these were all sisters.
Rests a modest neighborhood, rich with history.
Well, I've been here all my life.
Patricia Payne's family calling it home for nearly a century.
Back in the 30s, black men did not own property. So it means a lot. It's heritage that has continued on all these years.
A historic hidden gem where the houses all look different.
Old neighborhood flavor. That's still here. It's still here.
And the faces stay the same.
It was one of those neighborhoods that when you got in trouble, everybody knew it.
But now Payne says it's the neighborhood that's in trouble.
So this would be the septic area. They come in and they clean it. And because we're on a slight incline, we don't have as much of the problems that other people may have.
Aging infrastructure and wet soil leading to several septic system failures, in some cases even spewing wastewater out of the ground.
You used to could smell, so we knew it was something wrong.
While residents have worked hard to upkeep proper maintenance on their private lines, the county is now forcing these 26 homes to connect to public sewer services, dubbing their septics an environmental and health hazard. Payne says she appreciates the solution, but the price
we were given this crazy bill
could push people out of the only homes they've ever known.
It would put a tremendous burden on them.
The $1.5 million project costing each household approximately $60,000.
All right, coming up next, we'll speak to Delegate Ryan DeRocky. Again, this is House Bill 24, a huge price tag, but there's a call to action. We can help out. Stay right there.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Talks focusing on ending the Russia-Ukraine war are underway in Saudi Arabia. Secretary of State Rubio leading the U.S. delegation in discussions with Ukrainian officials. The talks come hours after Ukraine launched a massive drone attack on Russia and in the aftermath of recent stepped-up Russian attacks on Ukraine. The House will vote today on a stopgap funding bill to avert a looming partial government shutdown. The money bill will keep federal agencies going through September. President Trump's advice to Republicans: stand united in their support of the bill. Amid legal action over the arrest, the president says the detention of a pro-Hamas campus organizer is just the start. The day after recession fears sparked a big sell-off on Wall Street this morning, stock futures have been higher so far. The Dow futures are up 89 points, NASDAQ futures ahead 59. More details at srnnews.com.
Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan. You just dial #250, you say the keywords Pure Talk, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest-to-goodness wireless price right. Dial #250, you say the keywords Pure Talk, claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowi and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
O's and Yanks this afternoon in Tampa. First of two this spring between the AL East rivals. O's getting a lift yesterday from their young phenom catcher, Sam Basayo.
Look at this one. How far is this going? Oh. Samuel Basayo just hit one of the farthest home runs you'll see here. An absolute monster blast to right.
That it was.
That one courtesy of Pirates TV, as I'm sure you can tell. Basayo with a three-run shot in the O's 6-3 win, prompting manager Brandon Hyde to say this after the game.
That ball was absolutely crushed, and we've seen that type of power, so I thought he caught well, too. This is a great experience for him.
After signing Ronnie Stanley to a free agent deal on Sunday, it was no surprise that Patrick McCarry left Baltimore on Monday. The left guard signing on with Jacksonville, 3 years for $37 million. Also departing Brandon Stevens to the Jets, Malik Harrison to Pittsburgh, and Chris Board to the Giants. Maryland basketball rising to number 11 in the final regular season AP Top 25 poll, the highest that Maryland has been ranked since December of 22. Terps head coach Kevin Willard saying he's just doing what he's supposed to do.
My job is to win games. You know, if I don't win games, I'm not going to be here. That's the stress that being a coach is.
Terps start quarterfinal play in the Big Ten playoffs on Friday. Coming up in 30 minutes, Towson's dream season is over. And that is Stein on Sports.
It is. Another warm day today. Temperatures close to 20 degrees above the norm. And then a cold front comes along and cools us by about 10 degrees. So it's still mild tomorrow and Thursday. 71, the high this afternoon. Overnight, we're dry, mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, more sunshine, 60 the high. Thursday's dry, 62. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? Whether you're a local shop or global enterprise, Bank of America gives you access to a range of business solutions to help make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness.
Hi, I'm Kevin Mawai, Pro Football Hall of Famer. Over the years, my feet, knees, and back were in pain. That's why I turned to Good Feet Arch Supports, relieving pain and keeping me active. Try them for yourself with a free fitting and test walk. Visit goodfeet.com.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine, and also we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, starting March 17th at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. So we have a guest on the line. We don't want to hold him because he's working hard in Annapolis. But we got to talk about House Bill 24 here. As I said earlier, you know, Middle River made the news, and this time it isn't crime, violence, or a drive-by or something like that. But you know what? It's just right up there as far as being a tragic situation. Right now, you have a community in Middle River that is being burdened by a $1.5 million sewer upgrade. Now, I saw this report, and I noticed that it was a woman that looked to be about the age of my mom, and then I heard that she was on a fixed income. I thought, okay, so she's probably retired. And here, where you think that you've lived your life, you have a home that you own, and you're just, you know, you're now in retirement, living the American dream, and then all of a sudden, you're saddled with this news. I'm not surprised in the state of Maryland, unfortunately. Good morning, Delegate Ryan DeRocky. How are you?
Good morning, Kim. It's great to be on with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you've got a lot going on up there in Annapolis. And as I always say, I don't envy the job in which you have because I don't think I would want it, right? I have to be honest with you. This is wild to me. If you could explain just quickly here, House Bill 24, you know, of course, they're talking about $1.5 million for a sewer upgrade. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. So Kim, there are a number of communities, and it's actually not the only one in my district, but that's the one that the story was on the other night on TV. What this bill would do is it would allow folks that do not live in the critical Bay Area, which is the area that's like closest to the water, to access the Chesapeake Bay Restoration Fund. So what that fund is on all of our water, you know, and sewer bills right now. And one of the things that it does is it helps people that are on, you know, failing septic systems tie in to the sewer system, the sanitary sewer system. But if you do not live in the critical Bay Area, it is, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it is very near impossible to actually utilize that fund to get off of a failing septic system and get onto the sewer system. Now, here's where the real kicker of all this is, Kim. These folks can't access the fund, so the community has to come up with all this money. Each individual homeowner has to come up with all this money to tie in, which they're not able to do. They're not able to afford. But because they're also on failing septic systems right now, meaning they're not working anymore, the government will not allow them to get new septic systems. So they can't get new septic systems, and they don't have the money to tie in. So they literally have, you know, in some cases, human waste bubbling up out of the ground, and we're just supposed to accept that as that's the outcome.
Oh, my gosh. All right, well, real quick, Delegate, why can they not get new septic systems?
Because as the county has identified, and they're right, that the area is not good for septics. It's very low-lying. You know, they continually fail in this area. So they're right about that, but they won't allow them to permit new septic systems, and they don't have the money to tie into the sewer system. So they're literally in a rock and a hard place. And we are talking about, as you pointed out, a lot of senior citizens, a lot of folks that just do not have the money to do this, to make this upgrade. So my bill would allow these kind of communities that are in these types of circumstances to access the funds that are not in the critical Bay Area. Because ultimately, Kim, we know all this stuff makes its way to the Bay, right? And we all want a healthier Bay. All of us agree on that. So if we all can agree on that, then why are we like trying to exclude certain communities from being able to tap into the sewer system? It's just nonsensical to me.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Did they ever say why it was this way to begin with? Like why we have certain communities that can't tap in?
Yeah. I mean, I think originally when this law was passed 20 years ago, I think the idea was to get sort of the lowest hanging fruit to tie in, which is the communities right by the water and things like that. So, I mean, I get that. But we're 20 years in, right? So we've gotten almost all those communities to tie in to sewer systems. So now, like, let's reevaluate and let's say, okay, what else is out there that would make sense? Instead, the approach seems to be, let's not change anything because, you know, there's various environmental groups that don't want us to kind of touch their sort of sacred cow. And so now we're left with, like, communities like this one where, you know, you probably saw Ms. Payne on TV last night, right around the corner from me in Middle River, that they're literally in a rock and a hard place. They can't get new septic systems, and they can't tie into the sewer system, so they just continue to have failing septic systems for years. And there's, like, real public health issues for the broader community when you have failing septic systems. You know, it's not good to have human waste just bubbling out of the ground.
Right, right. And let me, you might know, you might not know. How many homes are we talking about in this community, if you were to guess?
Sure. There are, I believe, over 40 homes back in this community. So it's not an insignificant number of homes back there.
Okay. Wow. 40 homes. All right.
And this isn't the only one, Kim. I've had another circumstance in my district where this sort of circumstance occurred. And I would bet if we were to go around the state, you would find plenty of other instances where similar circumstances. So my bill, of course, is targeted at that community in the sense of that's the one that came to me. But I think it would help a lot of other communities around the entire state, not just the Middle River and Baltimore County.
Yeah. And when it comes to, just in case you're just joining us, Delegate Ryan Araki's on the line with us, the Chesapeake Bay Restoration Fund, you know, there's the money there to help with the situation? Because $1.5 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, Kim, the fund is flush with money.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm not proposing any, you know, new increases to any of our bills or anything like that. You know, that's not me, Kim. I'm not a higher tax and fee guy. I'm not proposing any of that sort of stuff. I'm just proposing to change the formula slightly to allow other communities to have access to the fund. So it's not just the houses right by the water. Those folks, by the way, would still have access to it. It's not saying that they don't have access. It just would say that others that aren't in the critical Bay Area could also access this fund.
Yeah, yeah, because it sounds like to me, I mean, whatever happened to diversity, equity, and inclusion? these neighborhoods should be included. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. Well, Delegate Ryan Araki, you know, what's the call to action here? What can we do to help out with some of these communities that are not tied in?
Yeah, so I think the immediate call to action is we've got to get this bill out of committee. And it's in the House Environment and Transportation Committee right now. So the call to action would be to contact All those members, which you can look right on the Maryland General Assembly website, there's quite a few, so I won't name all of them by name, but to contact those members that are on that committee and say, hey, let's get this bill out. Let's do our part, not only to help these, you know, homeowners here, but to also help all of us that are voters and all that sort of stuff. We want a clean bay. That's, I think, always the rap, Kim, is like the left tries to say that, you know, Republicans aren't environmentalists and we don't want clean water and things like that. This is a very much a clean water bill, right? We don't want sewage flowing into the bay. This would stop that kind of thing from occurring.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I'm looking at this list now here on the Maryland General Assembly website. And when you get off the line, I'll go ahead and read it to all those that are listening. It looks to me, and I'm just kind of taking a glance here. It looks to me that, you know, we have a lot of very progressive individuals on this committee. I would think because it's an environmental issue that you would have this on your side. What do you think that this is going to be the turnout here as it stands right now, Delegate?
Yeah, I mean, you would hope, you know, that these folks that are environmentalists would want to agree with me on this, because I do believe that this is a pro-environment bill.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird me saying that I'm on, like, the quote-unquote pro-environment side. But, you know, again, like the environmental groups, that, you know, they do not want to change this funding formula, because for a big chunk of it, the Bay Foundation and others get a lot of money out of this. Right. So there's that element of it as well. There's the people element. And then there's like the left wing lobbying groups that benefit from these kinds of funds. And they don't want to see their budget impacted in any way. And that's just not a good way to run government. Right. I mean, you shouldn't have failing septic systems at the expense of making sure that the Bay Foundation has a little bit more money from the government in their budget.
Yeah, because the fund should be there to assist those that are facing issues like this. Well, Doug and Ryan DeRocky, I know you got to get to work there, and we love everything that you and so many others in Annapolis are doing. Thank you so much for fighting on our behalf, and I will go ahead and talk more about this once you're off the line, and hopefully we can assist you in getting this out of committee.
Thanks, Kim. I certainly appreciate it. As you know, it's quite the uphill battle, and we've got quite a week coming up here. It's crossover week, meaning that if it doesn't get out of the House or the Senate to the other chamber, it dies. So there's a lot of bad bills potentially moving this week. So it's quite the fight here.
Delegate, before you go, sorry about that. I had a texter here. He was asking about, I think it's the House Bill 1287, the ban on Glocks in Maryland.
Yep.
Go ahead.
That one is potentially moving this week out of, I know it was on a list to be voted on in the Judiciary Committee. I think that there's a chance that bill moves. I don't think that bill, by the way, is constitutional, even if it ultimately passes. I think it'll get struck down, just like some other, you know, gun control measures that they've had here in the past. But, you know, we have a very left-leaning legislature here that, you know, wants to take away our Second Amendment rights all the time.
Yeah. So it sounds like this could end up in the Supreme Court. All right. Well,
I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Delegate, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you. And thank you again for fighting for us. We hope that you have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Kim. Always appreciate you. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thanks. Again, that was Delegate Ryan DeRocky. House Bill 24 is, you know, basically it would assist these individuals in being able to tie into this Chesapeake Bay Restoration Fund. It, you know what? 40 homes, right? And we'll just say this community alone, right? And he did mention that there's multiple communities across the state that needs to be tied into this. But 40 homes in this area, is that really that many? It's a lot when you think about the fact that this work needs to be done. But when it comes to the amount of money that they have set aside in this fund, I think they can get it done. I really do. And like I said, I say you couch this as it's an environmental issue. And there are so many people on this committee. Let's go through this, by the way. So many people on this committee that are supposedly for environmental issues. You've got the chair, which is Mark Corbin. He's in District 16 in Montgomery County. And then the vice chair is actually Regina Boyce. And she's in Baltimore City, District 43A. Now, you also have Delegate, Jackie Addison, Delegate Nick Allen, who we were just talking about earlier, Delegate Terry Baker. Now, he's in Allegheny in Washington counties. He's a Republican. So he would hold, I'm sure he will be on the side there with Ryan DeRocky. But then you have, some of these names I do not really recognize. But there are some very, you've got, oh, look at that, Linda Foley, District 15 out of Montgomery County. There's some very progressive individuals on this the Environment and Transportation Committee. And you would think that they would stand behind this. You've got Sheila Ruth on this committee. She's right in Baltimore County in District 44B. Let's see. You've got, wow, okay, Natalie Zegler. She's in 9A, Howard and Montgomery counties. We've talked about her in effect. Now, I know Robin. She's in Baltimore City here. Delegate Robin Lewis, District 46. Now, she's talked about issues of transportation in Baltimore City previously. I know she's made videos and posted them online. So I would think that she would be on the side here with Delegate Ryan DeRocket and these families facing these issues. I would think. But this is what's so tough about these bills. And the fact that you do have so many progressive members that are going to ultimately decide on what happens here. In that community, I wonder how many of those individuals voted for some of these progressives. And it, you know what? And I would say something like this, because it's huge and the money's already sitting there, I would love for Governor Wes Moore to say a few words about this. If the money is there, we're not asking him to pull money out of a hat like so many people are asking him to do. But if the money is there, perhaps he can at least just come forward and say, look, you know what? We need House Bill 24 to pass. We need to tie these communities in. A lot of these people are on a fixed income. I'm going to go to the phone lines here. If you want to weigh in, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. It's so unfortunate, but I feel as though, and you might see this too, the individuals that have been here their entire lives that are, you know, retired or now on a fixed income, nobody seems to care about them as far as Democrats and a legislator. No one seems to care. Like, they literally built this state on their backs, right? They've been putting so much into it. I don't think that anybody really cares about these vulnerable communities. I think that's why we ended up watching where they said they were going to cut DDA by $200 million. Remember Governor Wes Moore proposed that on the budget? He wanted to cut disability. He would cut disability before, you know, telling the teachers union they can't have what they want. It's a shame, but this is where we are. I've got Jackie and Perry Hall. Jackie, want to weigh in?
Yes, hi. Love your show. And I just caught this part about the sewer. We had a similar thing happen in our neighborhood. We live in Perry Hall, and we have an older community. They came in, and they basically, the county, there's about 130 of us living in the older neighborhood, and there's about maybe 10 homes in the neighborhood that are having issues, if that, with their sewage. And in 2018, they came in, they took a survey. It was the wettest year on record for many decades, and they went by that, what they got out of that test, and they decided that our whole neighborhood needed a new sewage system. And a number of us fought it for a couple of years,
okay.
And they just came in and said, nope, we're going with what we have. You're going to be paying this amount. You can either tie in. If you don't want to tie in, you know, then when your sewer gives up, you're just going to have to pay the whole, you know, a full amount. And, you know, a lot of us in the community like our sewage. I mean, our home was built in 56.
Okay.
It still runs fine. It was just a matter of pretty much railroading us into David Marks and Johnny O. You know, they had a plan, and they're just going with it. So there wasn't anything we could do. We really fought it.
Wow. Okay, so you guys had to, I guess you had to tie in then. Is that correct?
We are going to. They're going to start breaking ground next in 26, supposedly. So,
wow.
There's nothing that you can really do to fight it. We really didn't need it, but they wanted it, so that's kind of how it ended up being. And there were a lot of us that were that are unhappy, but, you know, that's pretty much how they ran the show. I think they came in thinking there would be more people wanting to have a public sewer system, and there weren't. And we really fought, and they just did their usual government, you know, this is what you need kind of thing, and we're going to do it whether you want it or not.
Right, right.
See, and it's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. There's quite
terrible.
A few people that are in the neighborhood that are older, and it's going to affect how they, you know, how they're going to live. So it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. Jackie, before I let you go, coming up on a break here, were you guys, did you get a town hall? Did you get to actually speak to Councilman Marks or at that time County Executive Johnny O about this issue, or did they just go in and push it themselves without any community input?
They initially, because it was going on during COVID,
okay.
They did a Zoom, which they did not allow, you know, any face-to-face. They had county people talking, and you could send in emails, but they did not respond to a lot of them. And then once things got better with COVID, they did have one more face-to-face, or they had a couple face-to-face ones, but
okay.
They didn't, you know, they already had pretty much in their mind what they wanted to do, and
okay.
Whatever we said wasn't taken seriously.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for weighing in. I appreciate you, and sounds like it was all theater. We'll talk more about this when we get back.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I don't like what they're doing to Elon Musk. I think it is, I mean, between the death threats and now attacking his businesses and targeting him and threatening him. And what has he really done? I mean, just look objectively. He supports Donald Trump. That's strike one. Now, you can't support Donald Trump. And he advocated, he planted himself in Pennsylvania, spent money to help Donald Trump get elected. Okay, I'm grateful that he did, because I think his efforts paid off big time. He's identifying, you know, tens, what will soon be hundreds and hundreds of billions in waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. We as conservatives have wanted this for decades. We've not gotten it. And the left is melting down.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Look, this country was founded on freedom. Freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then trying to blockade us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out? Well, it's time to throw your overpriced big wireless contract overboard as well. Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. With a qualifying plan, you can choose an iPhone 14 or a Samsung Galaxy for $0. And yes, this is for premium service on America's most dependable 5G network. Get your iPhone 14, Samsung Galaxy, $0 qualifying plan by dialing #250. Say the keyword save now, and Pure Talk's U.S. customer service team will make the switch in as little as 10 minutes. No hassle, no gimmicks, just honest to goodness wireless price right. #250, keyword save now. Claim your new iPhone or Galaxy with a qualifying purchase from Pure Talk, which is America's wireless company. Visit puretalk.com for details.
What if your business could see beyond what is and into what can be? Whether you're a local shop or a global enterprise, Bank of America gives you access to a range of business solutions to help make every move matter. What would you like the power to do? Find out how at bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness.
Vacation starts with VA. One thing you'll love about your trip to Virginia is that you'll never have to settle for one thing. All that you love is all in one trip. Start yours at virginia.org.
The views and opinions you hear on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com are not necessarily those of the owners, management, employees, and advertisers of WCBM.
All right, good morning. We're talking about, septic tanks. Yeah. I know. It's a little change of pace here on Kim Klasick Live, but we were speaking to Delegate Ryan Araki Before the break, I do want to get into this because we got some callers here that want to weigh in. I've got Mike in Pasadena. Mike, we're talking about the septic tank issue at Middle River.
Hey, Kim, I came in on the back end of that conversation. Is he fighting to try to get these people access to those funds?
Yes,
so
he is.
They can tie into a public sewer system or new septics on their individual property.
So he's trying to get them tied into the Chesapeake Bay Restoration Fund. And
he's trying to get them access to the money.
Correct.
But for what purpose?
So
that they can build new septics on their lot or tie into a public sewer system?
It sounds like tie into a public sewer system because it sounded like the new... Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not ever going to be on the side of anybody that's against development, but I would caution against that because land becomes a lot more valuable once you have public sewer. There could be a lot of parcels down there that don't perk, which makes them non-buildable and therefore very low value. So I would be looking to see if there are any developers that have been buying up land within the last 5 or 6 years that might be the driving force behind bringing a public sewer in down there.
Yeah, well, I know.
As it relates to septic, sorry to cut you off. As it relates to septic, the Bay Restoration Fund only purchases the septic equipment. They do not cover any of the installation. They do not cover any of the gravel for the drain fields. They do not cover any of the pipe for the drain fields.
Well,
that is all the responsibility of the homeowner to pay for all of those things.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much. I'm gonna text Ryan here during the break. I'll come right back with it.
I'm Dr. Melissa Segev, one of the doctors and owners of Audiology Associates. Our group of doctors has been providing hearing and balance care